Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And this segment with Big Cat Williams on Bears Monday is brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built for a Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford stores. I heard him on the postgame show with Hub and Olin. It was great, as always. He joins us at noon on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. You have a good Thanksgiving, Cat, and thank you for joining us, as always.
Oh, man, I ate entirely too much. You know when a big guy tells you he just ate himself into a state of uncomfortableness? Yeah, that was me on Thanksgiving.
I've been there, Cat. So,
yeah.
So what is too much for James Big Cat Williams? How does that qualify?
Oh, I just, you know what? I should have stopped at one plate. I should have stopped at one plate, man. A plate full of turkey, stuffing, macaroni and cheese, greens, you know, tons of gravy. It's just... You know, it all just came back to get me after that second plate. As I sat there and tried to watch the game and couldn't keep my eyes open, my stomach was just, I felt bloated. It was just uncomfortable after a while.
I respect them.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for all concerned. The rest of your day is just...
You're right.
No one likes a quitter, though, Cat. Like, if I can have two Thanksgiving plates, you certainly can have at least two.
Yeah, but my plates were probably bigger than yours.
Okay. Yeah, true. That's probably true. This ends the part of where I'm comparing myself to you in any way. Uncomfortable question potentially for you as a former player, but it is an allegation that I cannot make as a host and a skinny guy who never played any level of football. Were you satisfied with the Bears' effort in that game, in terms of not the result, but like their actual attempt at effort?
Yes, I was. I hate to say that guys quit. I hate to say that guys stopped playing hard. I don't think that was what I saw out there. I think what I saw was a group of, you know, a team that was just outmatched, a team that was outplayed, a team that was out physical, a team that just couldn't get on the right track and couldn't figure out, you know, what was going wrong. You know, I think going into the game, my thought process was, okay, you know, the Bears, the Eagles might overlook the Bears. And it looked like the Eagles did overlook the Bears just by the way the Eagles played, the turnovers, just the sloppy play, the penalties. You know, it looked like a team that was looking forward to next week. But you also saw the team in the Bears that were so bad that even though they got overlooked, they still looked very bad.
Oh.
You know, I don't think it was a team that gave up.
Man, that, like, because yes, I don't. The Eagles didn't play particularly well. I mean, I knew they moved the ball at will, like we were talking about earlier. But man, three turnovers and 11 penalties, and this looked even worse than a 9-1 team versus a 3-7 team should look. And you're saying that the Eagles kind of did overlook them. I mean, there's a level of embarrassment if you're on the field and you're a part of that as a Bears player, aren't you? I mean, some guys seemed angry after the game, and they were probably embarrassed.
Yeah, you are embarrassed after a game like that. I was on a team that went up to San Francisco, and I don't think we crossed the 50-yard line the entire game. That's embarrassing. No professional athlete wants to go out and just get dominated. And that's what happened to them. Like I said, you look at what the Eagles did. They break off a 35-yard run and then fumble the ball. They pick off an interception, and in the process of trying to return the interception, they fumble the ball. You know, the Eagles fumble. 35-40 yard line and consistently went backwards, you know, just to try and get back to the spot where they could kick a, what, a 53-54 yard field goal that they weren't going to make. You know, it was just that, you know, it was just that type of game the entire game. They were just, you know, you saw the deficiency of talent that the Bears have compared to what the Eagles have as a team, you know, the playmakers they have on both offense and defense.
James Big Cat Williams, Score Football expert with us on the Spiegel and Parkins show. I think everybody has come to the conclusion that John Fox is done. Like, he won't coach next year. Do you see value in firing him this year, like in the middle of the season?
Oh, I think it depends on how you look at it. If you think that, you know, you have someone in the facility, and I assume we'd be talking about Vic Fangio, that could or would want to, you know, take over this team and, you know, for the last, what is it, five games, and, you know, just see if a different person at the helm can make a difference in these, in the way these guys play.
Mm.
I think if you do that, that says a lot. But I don't think that, you know, I don't think that that difference is there. I don't think that there's much more to get out of the guys that you have due to injuries, due to lack of talent, due to lack of depth. You know, I don't know if a coach would really want to be put in that position. Does Fangio, you know, has Fangio ever come out and said, you know, I'd like to be this head coach. I'd like to be the head coach of the Bears. I don't know if this would be the situation where I would want to get started.
You know, go ahead. Yeah, sorry, Kat. I understand what you're talking about. I get the value of a midseason firing, or at least even just now for 5 weeks. I feel like John Fox's conservatism is a detriment to the number one goal, which is the education of Mitch Trubisky. I think the play calling, Dowell Loggins has wanted to do more, apparently, and then after Green Bay's loss, he was able to. And yesterday, not going for it on those two fourth downs. What do you have to lose? What are you doing? So,
but do we have any guarantee that if Fangio's in there or whoever else they choose to be the interim head coach is going to have a different thought process? Do we know that the Bears even have enough on this team to do anything more? You know, I understand what you're saying as far as Fox and the way he likes to play and the way he wants to call games as far as defense first. You know, let's run the ball, let's keep it close, be in it at the end of the game and have an opportunity to win it. But, you know, do we have any indication that Fangio is going to be any different?
No, but I would hope that, you know, Ryan Pace then goes and talks to him and finds out. Or Ryan Pace should know about the dynamic going on between those coaches. And if he does think maybe.
But maybe he does already know. He does already know, and, you know, it doesn't make much sense to them right now. Because I think if you go out and you fire Fox right now, and I heard you guys talking about it a little earlier, and, you know, Fangio comes in and, you know, they go 0-5 for his interim time, you know, now who does it fall on? Does everybody start looking harder at Pace? You know, does Pace's name come more into it as far as, okay, he hasn't gotten anything done. He hasn't, you know, brought in any personnel to help this team out. You know, do people start looking at him a little differently now? You know, we all assume that he has another year or two to let these draft picks mature and get to their full potential. But, you know, five more losses by a different interim coach, depending on how it looks, you know, now we're talking crazy about Pace.
Do you think we should be talking crazy about Ryan Pace?
No, not yet. I think there's still time. I think, you know, you have to wait and see how Trubisky pans out. You know, some of the young guys he's hit on have played well and, you know, need an opportunity to grow. It's not an overnight thing. Going from college to the pros and being a, you know, dominant player in the pros, you got guys like Goldman, you got guys like Jackson, you know, you got Howard. You have these guys that show potential. You just don't have enough. and you don't have enough guys that have the potential to be that, you know, like we always talk about, 4, 5, 6 year Pro Bowler, you know, an all pro, you know, a position changer, you know, whether it be right up the middle, a nose guard, a linebacker, you know, your Brian Urlachers, your Mike Browns, you know, you don't have those guys up the middle of that defense yet to, you know, lock your hat on, to say that, okay, these are our guys. Look, we're going to get it done with these guys, and these guys have gone out and proved it. We don't have any of those guys yet.
James Big Cat Williams is our guest. This is back to the specifics of yesterday. It surprised me a little bit. Without Leonard Floyd, other than some Akeem Hicks stuff when he was just manhandling people, they had no pass rush. And it seemed to me, again, having not gone back and watched the film yet, that they didn't do a lot in terms of bringing extra pressure. And I know that that's always like a, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you bring a blitz and he throws it quick, now you're undermanned in the secondary and all of that. But what is this Bears pass rush going to look like the last five games if Fangio doesn't bring more blitzes?
Well, it's going to look like what it looked like against the Eagles. I mean, you're not talking about those type of teams coming in here as far as San Francisco, you know, Cleveland. But, you know, you do have to face Minnesota again at the end of the season. So the potential for this type of game, you know, the Eagles game, to pop up again, maybe versus Minnesota, is always a possibility. Look, talking about an Eagles line that didn't have their starting left tackle and, you know, for, like you said, the majority of the game, no one even sniffed Wentz. And when they did sniff Wentz, he was good enough to just stand there. I mean, you know, I got so sick of just watching him stand flat-footed in the pocket, knowing that
right.
He didn't have to move. You know, I mean, when you see, I don't know how tall he is, but what, he looked like he was about 6'9 back there, just standing. You know, not bouncing, not sliding, shuffling side to side. He was just standing there, scanning the field. And whenever you get a quarterback that is that comfortable and that aware that, you know, no one's going to get to him, you're in trouble in the back part of your defense. And, you know, we've talked about the issues at cornerback and at safety for the Bears all season. You know, the cornerbacks have been playing better. But, you know, when you don't have a pass rush, it's hard to cover guys for more than a few seconds.
Outside linebackers named Isaiah Irving and Howard Jones played yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, who are these guys?
Right, exactly.
And John exactly. Jenkins is playing at defensive tackle. I mean, things are thin with that bunch. And let me ask you about Mitch Trubisky, because I heard Olin talking about it. I think you guys were discussing it yesterday on the post game, James, that some of the pre-snap penalties Olin was saying might be on Trubisky because his cadence is not consistent. Like, you know, we can see the mechanical stuff when he's inaccurate. His mechanics were all over the place yesterday, and he said himself his feet have to be perfect, and they sure as hell weren't yesterday. But did you guys talk about that? Is his presence at the line with an inconsistent cadence to blame for some of the false starts?
Yeah, you definitely have to get into a rhythm as a quarterback. You know, you have five guys that are listening to your cadence. Six if you count the tight end. Wide receivers usually can't hear. They're just looking in at the ball, you know, and the back behind you. But, yes, your cadence has to be consistent. And one thing that we talked about was if you looked at the first half, it looked like the entire first half they went on, you know, a set cadence. And then in the second half, they changed that cadence, and that's when you saw the Eagles jumping offside because, you know, the worst thing for an offensive lineman is for you to come up and on every play you're going on one because now you've got linebackers timing the blitzes. You've got defensive linemen, especially defensive linemen like the Eagles defensive linemen that are rushing the passer to stop the run. You know, they're trying to get upfield. Their knuckles are white. And all they're thinking about is penetration upfield. And if you get a quarterback that is staying in the same cadence, is always on one, or, you know, the same repetitive thing, the defense starts to pick up on that. You know, they're paid well, and they're, you know, good athletes, and they're smart at times. But, you know, you have to be able to change it up. You have to be able to go on the quick count. You have to be able to go on one. You have to be able to go on two. You have to be able to, you know, give a count, kill it, and then give another count. And it just seemed like the cadence was being called in from the sideline. Well, the snap count was being called in from the sidelines, and he just seems to be very inconsistent with it. You know, yeah, you have to be consistent with it. When an offensive lineman is hearing that snap count, like when we played, it was a difference between having Casey Wigman snap the ball and having Olin snap the ball. Now, for Casey Wigman, it was ready, set, cut, and he snapped the ball. For Olin, it was ready, set, ball snapped, cut. You know what I mean? So you have to get into the anticipation of the quarterback and the center combination together and figure out how it works so that you can get off the ball on time.
Would you say that was the worst game of Mitch Trubisky's season yesterday?
Yeah.
I thought so too.
He just looked very inconsistent. Like you said, he didn't seem comfortable when he threw the ball. You saw him throwing off his back foot a lot. You saw him throwing down the field, trying to step sideways. And, you know, that's where you start to get the balls that are thrown behind guys or overthrown balls. And, yeah, he did not look comfortable out there for some odd reason. And, you know, it could have been pressure that the thought of the pressure that the Philly defense could put on him. And, you know, like I said earlier, after you get hit a few times at a quarterback, especially a young quarterback, you start to see ghosts. You know, you start to feel that pass rush that isn't there. You start stepping up a second before you have to because you think the pass rush is coming even though there's nothing coming, and now you're stepping up into a crowd. And, you know, when he's stepping up now, he's not stepping up to look downfield to throw the ball. He's stepping up to avoid the rush and get the heck out of there. And, you know, until he learns to keep his eyes downfield while he's doing that, he's going to have issues.
Do you worry, like some do, that those issues are going to set in, like the bad habits are going to be formed here?
Yeah, a little bit. But, I mean, that was my worry putting him in this situation in the first place. Everybody was like, well, you know, your offensive line is never going to be healthy. You're never going to have all your wide receivers. Well, you know, you're talking about a rookie. And you're talking about a rookie that you want to lead your organization into the promised land. And to have him start off with, you know, the offensive line as banged up as they were, no one to throw to, you know, no number one receiver, no number two receiver. You know, he just got Inman, who's probably at the point where he'd be a good slot receiver if you had a good number one. But, you know, I've worried about it from the beginning. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't set in. Hopefully he's a smart enough kid and he gets enough help as far as, you know, a quarterback coach, an offensive coordinator that can, you know, steer him in the right direction, get him to play the proper way. But that fear is there.
James Big Cat Williams, Score postgame host. You hear him Bears Mondays with us on the Spiegel and Parkin Show at noon. Thanks, Cat.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
You too, James.
Appreciate you as always. The segment brought to you by Simply to Impress Holiday Cards. This year, make custom holiday photo cards at simplytoimpress.com. So many stylish designs to choose from. Get 25% off plus free shipping with promo code TRAFFIC at simplytoimpress.com.
Man, yeah, that was Big Cat's fear all along. You put him in there in a bad situation, he could learn bad habits that way. My fear has been that the conservatism and the fear of the coaching staff could affect him, and I feel like I see some of that, but that's so hard to quantify and figure out. I mean, I do feel like that yesterday was a regression for him. I feel like that was the worst his accuracy has been over an entire game.
I agree. I just think that it's one of those things where progress might not be linear, right. And he played arguably the best team that he'll play this entire year
on the road,
off of two games where he set his career high for completion percentage, albeit at just, I think, 60%.
Yeah.
It still was a step back. You know what I mean? It's not going to be an easy, seamless transition. By the way, Big Cat and everyone from the pre- and post-game shows at The Score are going to be at Shoeless Joe's this Sunday, 1480 West Lake Street in Addison. If you want to go see Bears pre- and post with The Score, go to Shoeless Joe's in Addison.
Let's talk about a young player who we both really like who had an awful day. I want to talk about him a little bit.
It's Spiegel and Parkins on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. We'll transition to Bernstein and Goff coming up in 30 minutes. By the way, we need to figure out if and when and what the next track on the Mitch album will be.
Yeah.
Because... by the way, some are catching on, but some not giving the Mitch album enough credit it deserves for the impact. Okay? Coming into yesterday's game, in the three games since Let Him Throw had debuted, 97 pass attempts in three games for Mitch Trubisky. Last game, looking around, what's he doing?
Right.
Man, he really is all by himself
all by himself.
But now this last game, a little blip in the radar.
It was...
like, is there a song about Mitch being bad?
Well, or at least I don't think we can use
like a worst case scenario song.
I think it rules out 99 problems and a Mitch ain't one.
No, Mitch.
Mitch is one.
He
was one of them.
He's one of the 99 problems.
99 problems, and Mitch is one of them.
Yeah,
it does not have the same ring to it. Nor do I think. I mean,
you don't have the chops. I don't have the chops.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I don't think I have the chops to rap like that, man. That's flow. That's a different, that's a unique kind of flow.
Jay-Z's pretty good.
That said, I do have a rap idea. I've got a pretty good rap idea.
Well,
I think. I know.
I'm up for it.
Oh, dude.
I think that's the place where my true talent hasn't shown through.
Anybody who's ever YouTubed Danny Parkins and rap
knows
that.
How do you keep drawing people? Like, use your Firefox search engines if you need to. And yeah, you can YouTube the Ignition remix and me. I know. It's terrible.
All right. I'm on Firefox right now. I'm using Firefox for everything today.
Okay.
Every search is via the Firefox browser in honor of that dude's beautiful sign in the front row behind the end zone.
It was amazing.
Parkins rap. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you who the player was that we haven't discussed. I feel like we've talked about a lot of Bears.
Yeah, we talked about him a little bit, but it was earlier. But, man, that was an awful game for Eddie Jackson. And I really like Eddie Jackson as a safety. I've enjoyed his instincts, his football acumen, his football IQ or whatevs. But yesterday... check out the Nelson Aguilar shake and bake on his touchdown when Eddie Jackson comes up and might as well have just been standing flat-footed. It certainly looked like it, essentially ankle broke by Nelson Aguilar. He fills the wrong gap and gets caught up in the D-line on the Ajayi run that led to the fumbled touchdown for Aguilar. Ajayi went right by him a couple of times. It was an awful, awful day for a player that I want to think of as a big, important piece of the defensive puzzle, but he looked awful yesterday.
It was a bad game. Like, I can't overstate it. It was a bad game, but we are literally 1 week removed from Pro Football Focus talking about him and Adrian Amos and maybe being one of the best safety tandems this year in the NFL, which is ridiculous. Like, that seems like maybe a little bit of a flaw in some grading or overrating some of these guys or whatever, but like, he has been playing well. Like, Eddie Jackson's rookie season is firmly in the positive column, right? Like, if we were, if the season was over and we were doing, like, all right, a lot went wrong this Bears season on their quest of 4-12 or whatever they're going to end up being.
Yeah.
But what went right? I would imagine Eddie Jackson is on that short
list
of things that went well. So, one game where he played poorly against one of the three best teams in the NFL on the road.
Just chalk it up to the learning curve.
For me, right?
Yeah,
like,
I'm
not going to panic over it. He's a fourth-round rookie safety early in his career in a big game on the road against a great team, and he looked awful.
Yeah, and there's some good athletes out there in the NFL. I don't know if you're aware. Nelson Aguilar is a freak of an athlete. Torrey Smith saying after the game, that's the best athlete he's ever played with at wide receiver. Torrey's been on a lot of teams.
Mm.
And he said he knew that from OTAs, and he's like happy for Aguilar to be where he is. in terms of having some success. Did you see Alvin Kamara hurdle somebody? Like,
yeah.
LeGarrette Blount hurdled Eddie Jackson yesterday,
correct,
too. So, but then Alvin Kamara hurdled somebody yesterday.
It seems like every week in the NFL, I see amazing catches and amazing plays by offensive skill position players, none of whom are on the Bears. Like, I mean, like, Tariq Cohen had that one where he put a guy in a spin cycle and reversed the field in, like, his first game.
Yeah,
right?
that's kind of it so far.
Look, what's the second best offensive play by a skill position player on the Bears?
Long Jordan Howard run.
Yeah, but that was just straight ahead with great blocking. It was a nice run, but
two Mitch plays. The throw against Baltimore in overtime
to Kendall Wright stepping up on the third down.
And the scramble. The scramble on fourth down.
All right, I'll put the scramble above the throw on third down, but these are, yeah. I'm talking about plays that, like,
I know.
Plenty of guys can make that throw on third down.
Do you know who DJ Foster is?
I don't remember what team he's on.
He's a Cardinals, I believe, a wide receiver. I'm not even sure, actually. He made one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in my life just before Phil Dawson at the 57-yarder yesterday for them on a throw by Blaine freaking Gabbert. DJ Foster, like, his toes somehow staying in as he makes a crazy catch and falls to the ground. Yeah, there's guys everywhere who are not here.
You saw the Antonio Brown catch last night?
Yes.
I don't know, with physics, how it's possible to, like, catch a ball like that on your fingertips and still have the awareness with both feet on the sidelines. He's remarkable. Now, I mean, I know that obvious statements for 500, Alex. Antonio Brown and Julio Jones are really damn good. But I feel like every time I tune in and I watch those guys, they're doing something insane. Though Julio Jones did change it up this week, and he got into the end zone a couple of times.
Yes, he did.
Someone earlier texted that they left Julio on their bench in fantasy.
That can't be true.
You're bad at fantasy football, sir.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of weeks where Julio gives you nothing. But
it's been a huge disappointment, but you don't bench the guy.
You know, a week like this is common.
Yeah.
Because he's that special.
Pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Every week these guys kind of seem to defy physics.
That's why we watch.
Did you see Robbie Anderson's touchdown catch yesterday for the Jets?
Yeah.
That dude, they found somebody. It's an undrafted free agent. He's got, I think, five games in a row with a touchdown. I had two yesterday.
I thought the Jets were tanking. Like, and they just keep playing competitive. They lost yesterday to Carolina, but I mean, they're always in games. They're playing hard. They're playing well. I thought that they were going to have to fire everybody, and they weren't trying to win this year. I don't know what's going on.
As long as we're talking about athletes and wide receivers, Mohamed Sanu, with the presence of mind on a snap, he's playing wildcat and he makes the throw to Julio Jones. The presence of mind is the ball pops up in the air. No big deal. He's a wide receiver, but no big deal. I'll just grab the ball out of midair, reframe it in my hand, and then make a perfect deep throw to Julio Jones.
You saw his career passing numbers? He's got like three passing touchdowns and a perfect rating, and every time they give him the ball, he figures out a way to score a touchdown as a quarterback.
He was recruited to play quarterback at Rutgers. He has thrown six passes in six seasons. He's completed all of them. Three for at least 50 yards, two for touchdowns. Threw an A.J. Green touchdown pass of 73 yards. So he's thrown two for at least 50 yards. And over the last 35 years, he's the only player other than quarterbacks with two or more touchdown passes of 50 yards or longer. The only one. Among the other non-quarterbacks to do so, Frank Gifford had three of them and Walter Payton had two of them. Sweetness gets a mention. He threw two 50-yard touchdown passes or more in his career.
Texter writes in, oh my God, how can you forget the Bears' special two-point conversion for great plays? Okay.
There you go.
We're talking about athletically superior plays. Like, that was brilliant play design and was fun.
Uh-huh.
But I'm talking about, like,
how
wow,
about this?
I don't know that any other athlete could do that.
Wasn't there that Trey McBride catch that didn't count?
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Trey McBride catch didn't count. And then how about this?
We're getting a lot of depressing texts. I'm assuming that's where you're going.
The Zach Miller touchdown catch where his knee is destroyed and he almost loses the bottom half of his leg as a result. And then the touchdown gets overruled.
So the most impressive plays by Bears skill position players are plays that did not count. It's the Bears. That is a nice synopsis of the 2017 Chicago Bears.
Oh, that is so sad.
Tim, Mike, we could take some of your reactions, some big picture stuff that people want to weigh in on ahead of Bernstein and Goff in transition on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey guys, look! and 9. The game is yours! We got 1 yard.
It was a beautiful moment in the second half of that game when the Bears moved into positive rushing yardage. Reminded Campy and I of Little Giants when they gained 1 yard against the Cowboys.
Spike was a mean mother on that team, man. Very tough. Icebox, had to overcome it. A lot of adversity there. The O'Shea brothers.
Generational divide in action.
It's okay. The annexation of Puerto Rico. Brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time. Use Spot Hero anytime you park downtown. First-time users can enter the promo code CITY for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. You told me during the break that there was a quote that you needed to read me that came up, so I have gone away from Twitter for all of 5 minutes.
Okay.
So I am woefully behind and unprepared. I apologize.
Nikola Mirotic practicing today with the Bulls, man.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Some people were saying you guys should talk more Bulls just to take our minds off the Bears, and I never thought I'd say that. It's a weird thing. Okay.
Yeah, no. There's other stuff percolating that we'll get to during the course of the week. Don't you worry, folks, but not necessarily with the Bulls. Nikola Mirotic practicing out there, and everybody wondering if he and Bobby Portis have spoken. What's going on?
Sure.
Because, Laura, I want them to have a critical conversation. Just sit them down. Fred, Pax, Nico, Bobby, boom. Conversation. Shut the hell up. Grow up. Let's go. Let's play.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Here's what Fred Hoiberg said, according to Mike McGraw of the Daily Herald, just today, about 10 minutes ago. Hoiberg said, the feeling is that Nico and Portis will have to communicate on the court sometimes, and hopefully that will carry over to off the court.
Wait, what? So Hoiberg, the plan is just to be like, hey, I'm open. Hey, they're talking
now. Look at that. Look at that.
Wow.
They communicated about a defensive switch, and now they're going to...
Help.
Hey, Cristiano, tell Nico I'm open.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That is leadership in action, my friend.
They're going to have to talk on the court sometime, so maybe when they both go back to the bench, they're like, so, you didn't rotate over quick enough, and by the way, remember when you broke my face? We're cool now.
That's right.
Awesome.
Maybe try to reverse that ball instead of trying to take your man who didn't quite have a mismatch, and why did you do that? Why'd you punch me in the face and break my nose?
Did you need to pump fake again?
Right. You got a clean right. Yeah.
Did you need to pump fake again, and I'm sorry that I took it to an improper level. Sorry about that. My bad.
I'm told we, amidst all of our Bears voicemails, there was one lone Bulls voicemail in the wilderness that we missed. So 312-729-3965, the Spiegel and Parkins voicemail line. Let's see what Bulls call slip through the cracks.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkins voicemail line. Yeah, this is Brandon in Rockford. I had to sneak away from my kids. I'm so pissed off. I had work last night. And then I find out the Bulls lost to the Warriors, okay, which was expected. But then I find out that Jordan Bell started, and he trolled the shit out of the Bulls. And it just reiterates the point that Garpax needs to go. I'm about to have a heart attack down here. I had to run away from my kids so they didn't hear me cussing. So I'm about to have a meltdown. I'm about to hit this bull right here. If I don't seriously find out within the next 24 hours that Gar Foreman has been shipped into a box Indiana Jones style, I'm going to be losing my mind. John Paxson, when I was a kid, I got an autograph, and thank God I can't find it, because if I did, I would all over it. Seriously. I'm so done with this team.
End of message.
3.5.
Okay.
3.5.
Wow. It's a lot of anger that the Bulls can still bring out of you, sir. I'm impressed. I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Surprise, still there.
Yeah.
I do regret that I was not around here in town or even on the Twitters to enjoy the Jordan Bell trolling moment on Friday night.
I want to see how Cash consideration was playing over there.
Yeah, he's not good, Jordan. Thanks for noticing. Cash is not playing particularly well.
Oh, God. The all-petty team. Jordan Bell just, I'm going to troll the Bulls. Yeah, I'm going to punch down. And I don't care that I'm in a better place and I'm going to get a ring and they're awful. I'm going to punch down.
Yeah, it's the only way to punch with the Bulls, by the way.
Right.
Or in the face directly.
Right. The face or down. Let's squeeze in one quick call. Mike in Rockford, you're on the Spiegel and Parkin show. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike. How are you, Mike?
Hello, Mike. Sorry, guys. I was clearing my throat. You there?
Yeah, we're good, man.
All right. Sorry, guys. Hey, listen, real quick. I'm really disgusted with the Bears organization. I've been a fan for 55 years. Well, actually, 45. I was 10 when I started watching them. But I got to tell you, I'm sick of the passive attitude with not you guys, but just in general. So here we have Pace in his third year. You've got Fox, you know, who's just, he's not even in his best years are behind him, and he doesn't seem like he really cares. He's going to get his money regardless if he's fired or not before the season's over. But the point of the matter is, we watched Huntley yesterday in the Packer game last night. Now, this guy, granted, he's a fifth-round pick. He laid an egg against last week, but he looked really good yesterday. He was a fifth-round pick. I know he's got better weapons to throw to.
Yep.
Then you know where do you where is a leash on Trubisky? Because I don't know how long
more than six games.
I believe we're at seven games.
Okay.
All right. But do you guys honestly believe? Okay. Where let's say we go into next year and he's got better weapons and he's just starting to really just not look good. You know, he's just looking average. I mean, are we just going to give him another year and then Pace is going to – I mean, where do you guys see this going with Pace? You think Pace
Okay, Mike, we'll answer that. Mitch Trubisky is going to get at least two full seasons after this.
After this.
Yeah. Ryan Pace probably is here for those two seasons.
He'll get to play into that second full season. Like,
right.
if next year is really, really bad, he still gets to start the year after that.
Brett Hundley is 3 years into a career, sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, with an offensive head coach, with Jordy Nelson, with Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
It's like comparing apples to gold right now. Mitch Trubisky has nothing. He has no, and he looked horrible yesterday. It was a step back, and it is no guarantee that he will be good. But could he be good? Yes, I think he still could be great.
He gets a full year next year with a massive offseason, and hopefully you get the Jared Goff treatment, and he's armed with a lot of stuff, including a new coach and weapons, et cetera. And then even if that's real bad, he gets to start the year after that. And somewhere in the middle of that year, if things are really still bad, you might see a benching, or you might see something like that.
But I wouldn't root for it, because if that happens, you're the Browns. Like, if you start all over and you got to tear the entire thing down again.
Hey, man, it was so weird to watch Blaine Gabbert against Blake Bortles as Jacksonville's past beat Jacksonville's present, which will soon be another part of their past, probably. You know, yeah, right?
Yeah, a little confusing.
Yeah.
There, but yeah, no,
but
like, Gabbert, I followed it.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Gabbert there failed.
Yep.
Gabbert now beats him yesterday. Bortles with some horrible plays yesterday.
There's some awful quarterback play in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears are on that list.
Yeah, we had some
squarely
of it
right now. Looks like Barry Rosner in for Jason Goff. We'll talk to Bernstein and Rosner next on The Score.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.